The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the deal done. Dak and Dallas, the QB, cashes in. We'll explain exactly what it means for the team and the league. Plus, another quarterback question in the same division. Have the Eagles found their man, or are they making the biggest mistake in the league? And here we go again. When is a letter to fans not just a letter to fans? When it doesn't mention Russell Wilson. Oh, what a morning. It's time to get up, starting right now on a Tuesday from the Seaport and a show 2 years in the making. Greeny here with you and delighted to bring in this extraordinary squad to cover this enormous story. David Pollack is with us. Orlovsky is here. Booger has gotten up with us. Graziano, Shefty, and Mike Tannenbaum, we've got it covered from every possible angle. Let's go. About 7 o'clock Eastern time last night, the enormous breaking news. A source telling Adam Schefter, the Dallas Cowboys and quarterback Dak Prescott have agreed to a 4-year, $160 million contract that includes $126 million in guaranteed money. And Dak's brother, Tad Prescott, posting this picture on Twitter last night shortly after the news broke with the message, when your little brother gets the call, let's go, Dak. Time to win the Dallas Cowboys a Super Bowl. And that is one indication of just the many angles of this story. It is a human story about a young man who outlasted the system and wound up winning huge. Here's the man with all the news, of course, Adam Schefter. We've been waiting literally 2 years for this day. How did it finally get done?
Well, Greeny, the truth of the matter is they were talking about it all weekend long. And to his credit, Chris Mortensen got a call on Friday and said the deal was in the works and close to getting done. And when we called around over the weekend, we were met with strong denials, which was not exactly forthcoming, but that's neither here nor there. They were able to make enough progress over the weekend that they capped it off on Monday, ramming home an enormous deal. And they had to get it done. That's the truth of the matter, right? The Dallas Cowboys needed to clear up cap space. And by signing Dak Prescott to this long-term 4-year, $160 million extension, which is $4 more million than Jerry Jones paid for the Dallas Cowboys in 1989, it freed up about $15.5 million against the salary cap this year alone. Plus, the Dallas Cowboys no longer face the prospect of losing Dak Prescott after the season when he could have walked if he had played on the franchise tag. There was too much to lose for Dallas not to get this deal done now. Dak Prescott, on the other hand, gets $160 million, gets $126 million guaranteed, and get this, he gets to become a free agent at the age of 31 when the new TV money kicks in a few years. So Dak Prescott gets everything that he wants. Really, this is one of those situations where both sides, Greeny, had to be able to get this deal done, and at the last hour, they finally were able to do that, putting aside 2 years of futile talks in the effort to finally get the deal home.
Adam Schefter, no one talks to more people around the NFL than you do. What was the reaction you heard from around the league last night after the announcement?
That Dak wins, that Dak got the deal he wanted, that Dak played this the right way, and that the Dallas Cowboys had no choice but to go in this particular direction with him. Because this is a situation like we talked about with him having the leverage. Dak got everything he could have wanted. He got a no-trade clause in the contract. They cannot tag him again. He will never have to worry about being in a position where the Dallas Cowboys could put the franchise tag on him again as a quarterback. He got the money. He got the guarantees. Got everything he could have wanted. I think people were surprised at how much he got in the end, but the Dallas Cowboys also got. They don't, like I said, face the prospect of losing him, and they get $15.5 million of cap relief this year.
Outstanding. That's where it begins. Shefty, outstanding work as always. Thank you. Check that text. It may be the next big breaking story, and we will come back to you quickly if it is. Meanwhile, let me bring some more of the crew in here this morning for reaction. Dan Orlovsky, Dan Graziano, Mike Tannenbaum. Orlovsky, I'm starting with you. You have been a part of this discussion on this show for 2 years. The deal is done. What is your reaction?
I told you guys Dak was going to get paid. Just trust me and listen to me. No, my biggest reaction is Dak Prescott has the biggest win for players in a long, long time. I mean, his patience, his team's patience, the discipline, the ability to not cave and not give in and wait and wait and wait paid off. And it's the biggest win one the players have seen in a long time. Number two, I was shocked and I was stunned at the numbers. I thought they would get a deal done at some point, maybe, but not at this number of $40+ million a year. I don't know who had the bigger swing and miss at this one, me or Jerry Jones. It's a lot of money to pay Dak Prescott.
Well, let's put it this way. It costs him a lot more money to have swung and missed in this case than it costs you. So, Tannenbaum, yeah. Let's go to that. How did it get there? I mean, I think most people would agree with that. Look at it, that this is a lot more money than you might initially have thought this particular player would wind up getting. How did it get to a place where the Cowboys had no choice but to give it to him?
Two factors. It was a bad plan, and there was bad luck. The bad plan was 2 years ago, Greeny, when they signed Zeke Elliott instead of signing Dak Prescott. The bad luck was the pandemic. And in texting with people last night around this deal, it was simply untenable for the Dallas Cowboys to tag Dak Prescott at $37 million this year with the cap going down. And when you look at the numbers, they really are staggering. The number that really jumps out to me is $106 million in cash in 16 years between last year and this year. And what's really remarkable, Greeny, is the injury, the catastrophic injury he had last year actually helped him. It didn't hurt him. Now, in fairness, the one thing I would like to add is Dallas, their side of this is we come in at 5 years, about $191 million, which is about $38 million a year. So we come in a little bit less than Deshaun Watson. But make no mistake about it, by Dallas waiting and paying Zeke Elliott first, cost them, in my opinion, at least $8 million a year. What would have been $32 million 2 years ago turned into $40 million last night.
And I want to underline something that you said in there. In a 16-month stretch, he will wind up making $106 million in cash. Dak Prescott wins
in a
landslide. And Dan Graziano, what are your thoughts? You were making a point this morning that this might be the best contract in the NFL.
Oh, Greeny, I think it is. I mean, look, people are going to say, compare it to Patrick Mahomes' deal. It's not comparable. I mean, this guy's going to make $160 million in 4 years. The first 4 years of Mahomes' contract, he'll end up making $104 million. Those numbers aren't even close to each other. And then Dak Prescott, as Adam Schefter pointed out, gets to be a free agent again, assuming he plays well in the meantime. We can't even conceive right now of what the quarterback number is going to be 4 years from now or 3 years from now if Dallas wants to do an extension with him at that point. This is a home run for Dak Prescott and his agent, Todd France. I mean, they got literally everything. They got a record signing bonus, most guaranteed money at signing, $95 million, surpassing Matt Ryan's deal from a couple of years ago. The three-year cash flow, the no franchise tag promise. Heck, they're going to franchise him today just as a procedural matter so that anybody else who ever wants to franchise him years from now would have to pay the third-year franchise cost to do it. I mean, there's absolutely nothing they could have asked for, Dak Prescott and his agent, that they didn't get in this deal. They absolutely cleaned up.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And Mike Tannenbaum, I'm just thinking about something you said a moment ago, and it does strike me that so many things that you would have thought would have worked against Dak Prescott in this circumstance, wound up working for him. He suffers a serious injury, a season-ending, terrible-looking injury while playing on the franchise tag. Your immediate thought is, well, that's a terrible thing to happen. It winds up benefiting him because it showed how much the team missed him. And then there's a pandemic. The salary cap winds up diminishing. There's less money to go around. An initial thought would be, well, that's terrible for a player looking to get paid. But to the point you made a moment ago, Mike Tannenbaum, it actually wound up working out well for him. So, Mike T, that's what you mean by luck. All these bad breaks wound up being good breaks for Dak Prescott.
Absolutely. And again, it goes back to 2 years ago, Greeny, and you talked about it. Dallas had control over Zeke Elliott's contract for years to come, at least three more years. That was the time to get a deal done. And when you wait in the NFL and a player keeps playing the way that Dak did, and we could argue, was it good or elite? And I know where Dan Orlovsky is on that. But when he's high character and you win a playoff game, there's just not enough good quarterbacks to go around. And they paid a massive premium by waiting, and that was a catastrophic mistake 2 years ago. Layer in the bad luck, and we saw the result last night.
Dan Orlovsky, does it change the expectations? This is such a unique circumstance. It's one thing to become so highly paid as he is and so public. The world, I think, sees this one, anyone who's really paying attention, a little differently. This was as unique a circumstance as I can ever remember in negotiation. Do the expectations now multiply based upon the contract for the quarterback?
Oh, unquestionably, the expectations are sky high because he's no longer the feel-good story fourth-round pick. He's now the second-highest paid quarterback in football. He now has potentially the greatest contract in the history of football. And so now the expectations are Super Bowl. I mean, that's what comes not only from within your organization, but comes from the outside as well. I mean, in the last four seasons, Dak Prescott-led teams for the Cowboys are 7-18 versus teams with winning records. 7-18 versus teams with winning records. In those games, he's got 37 touchdowns and 36 turnovers. That won't cut it anymore. The expectation will for that to flip 18-7 versus winning teams in a way more touchdown to turnover rate. That's just the truth. That's just the facts. Okay, so I'm a person first. I'm super happy for Dak Prescott. Good for him. He beat the system and has an incredible story. And I'm an analyst second. The expectations will be wildly different. And very quickly, it will no longer be that feel-good story of the guy, that fourth-round pick that got the opportunity. So it's great for him, but now it is mandatory. You got to be the guy that breaks the curse, so to speak, of not winning for the last 25 years.
I think that's fair. We're going to bring the other players in here for a thought on that in a second. But Graziano, let me wrap up with you on this piece of it. Shefty just pointed out all of the money that they save against the cap this year going into free agency next week. Why is that so significant for the Cowboys as they try to put this roster back together? Put some names to it. What does this mean they will likely now be able to do?
Well, I mean, they'll be able to keep taking care of their guys. I mean, they're going to have to restructure some more deals to get under the cap because this will put them sort of right up against it. But it allows them to poke around in free agency and try and put this defense together. So, yeah, I don't know if there'll be big, big players at the very, very top of the market, you know, for cornerbacks and pass rushers, but they're going to be able to maneuver and add to that, and I also expect them to address this in the draft. You know, to Orlovsky's point, you know, with all this money committed to Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper, they're going to need some contributions from some younger, cheaper players, probably from this year's and last year's draft class in order to contend this year.
They have the 10th pick in the first round this year. Todd McShay, his most recent mock, has been taking a corner, Patrick Surtain, out of Alabama. All right, guys, sit tight with me.
Makes
here.
Makes sense.
Dak Prescott signing puts the Cowboys, let's put some numbers directly to that, about $3 million over the projected salary cap, which I'll remind you is still not fully finalized. For the upcoming season, the Cowboys have six players with a cap hit over $13 million, three of them with a cap hit over $20 million. So there's still some massaging of all of this to do, but they got the biggest piece taken care of, and David Pollack and Booger McFarland join the conversation here. Guys, thanks for getting up. Boog, I'm coming right to you. What is your reaction? This is obviously a conversation you've been having with us forever. What's your reaction to them getting the deal done with Dak?
Well, Greeny, first of all, super happy for Dak. Dak is a Louisiana kid that went to Mississippi State. The second thing I thought about was, man, somebody needs to have a chair near Dan Orlovsky because when he sees these numbers, he's going to faint. And I do not want Dan hitting the ground. I wanted Dan to sit down comfortably in a chair. That way, when he absorbed these numbers, he didn't pass out. Greeny, here's the thing. People are going to look at the numbers and people are going to say, man, Dak Prescott is being paid too much money. No, he's not, Greeny. Leverage is the key to every deal. And Dak Prescott bet on himself, and he had an unsurmountable matter of leverage, and he and Ty France played that leverage out. Now, as far as the expectations, Greeny, understand this. He's already the leader of the football team. He's already revered in that locker room. We on the outside, we are going to say Super Bowl or bust. But if you're really going to be a realist, the defense is not ready to win the Super Bowl. The offensive line has been inconsistent and not healthy. But what the Cowboys did with this deal is they secured the most important position in team sports, the quarterback. That's it. They still have a lot to do. So let's not put the pressure of Dak's got to win and Dak's got to do it all right now. Dak has to continue being who he's being, which is above average and consistent. And if he does that, then the Cowboys have to build around him and make sure, as Orlowski always said, the people around him have to play better for him to be as good as he can be.
Dan looks skeptical. I will get to you in a minute, but let me get David Pollack into the conversation. David, what's your reaction here? Dak Prescott, the deal is done. The Cowboys, the expectations are sky high. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, Boog just said above average and consistent, and you getting paid that much money. Hot dang, boy. Golly. I mean, I agree with Dan, man. I mean, listen, I get it. I understand Dak had all the leverage. Dak played it correctly. He waited. He was patient. The Cowboys screwed it up about as bad as you possibly can. If you look at the numbers going back a couple years and what they could have done a couple years ago, now to being painted in a corner and being backed up, and Dak did a great job in it. Like Mike T said, all the circumstance worked out. But Boog just said consistent and average, and you're talking about making $40 million a year. I need to change my occupation and change my habits. I should have been a quarterback.
Danny, let me go back to you. You were a quarterback. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you can't, Boog, absolutely not. Listen, there's no way that you're paying a quarterback $40-plus million and thinking, okay, well, if our tackle's out or our wide receiver's down or our defense gives up 30, well, we just got to play a little bit better around them. When you choose to pay the quarterback that much, you're choosing to pay the quarterback that much because you believe that quarterback can fix some of the problems that you have, can cover up some of the holes that you have as a football team. And that's why I said be careful paying Dak Prescott that much money because it's going to take away from all those other pieces. In the last 60 starts, they're 32-28. I just said the stats, 7-18 versus winning teams in the last 4 years. That has to change. Too much is given, much is expected. They are not paying Dak Prescott all that money to be above average or be consistent. They're paying Dak Prescott all that money to break the drought, to be the best quarterback they've had in the last 30 years. That's why they're paying him all that money.
Go ahead, Bug.
So Dan, here's the thing I would tell you. The quarterback that we think is the greatest quarterback going in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes, couldn't do it by himself in the Super Bowl. So if you don't get blocking up front from an offensive line, if your defense doesn't play good, I don't care how great you are. Just don't look at the amount of money Dak is making and say Dak has to fix everything. He can't fix it all. What he's got to be is continue climbing the ladder. Through the first 5 years of his career, he is on par with some of the greats, the Bradys, the Breezes of this world.
I agree.
He's gonna get better. Let's not just say that all of a sudden, just because he's making this money, now he has to become something that he's not. You can't do it by yourself in this league. Patrick Mahomes showed us in Tampa in the Super Bowl. If you don't get help, you can't do it. So let's not put it on Dak that he's now got to make up for the tackles. He's got to make up for the defense. The Cowboys' defense stinks. If they don't win next year, it might not be because of Dak. It may be because that defense is terrible. So let's not just put it all on Dak. I realize you think the money is too much, but he's got to get help, Dan.
Go ahead, Dan.
But two things that are different in comparison to Patrick's situation. One, Patrick took less than he could have. He said, I wanted to take less than people thought I could or the market says because I wanted to have help for our football team. Two, injuries were a part of that. It wasn't because they didn't have enough financial means to support him. That's the big difference because all the injuries added up offensive line-wise for Kansas City, not just because they didn't have the people. I'm not going to sit here and say that just because Dak Prescott's getting $40-plus million that the expectations are the same. That is not how this works. He and his team played it perfectly, and he's now the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL. He's getting paid MVP type of money. His performance and his results need to match the amount of money that he's getting paid. And
he can't play defense, Dan. He can't play defense, though. I mean, I get it, but he can't play defense.
Let me get Pollack in here. David, it's a good
debate. When you take that amount of money, you understand that.
David Pollack, what do you think? Is it reasonable now to elevate the expectations on Dak Prescott based upon the elevated salary?
Well, another thing, too, yes, it is reasonable. But another thing, too, it's not like they haven't spent money on the offensive side of the football. So, Boog, I get it. You can't control your defense. But you dang sure better put up points. Amari Cooper, you traded for him. He's making a ton of money. Zeke Elliott making a ton of money. A ton of draft picks invested in the offensive line up front. Dak Prescott and the offense better ball out. So I agree with Dan in that component. You can't control the defense, but you better put up points, and this offense better be one of the best in the National Football League.
Outstanding. Yeah, let's just wrap it. Let's wrap this with a smile. Can I get a one shot of Booger, please? Booger, give us the finger. Just, and when I say that, everyone will know what I mean when I show you one. Show everybody. There we go.
You mean those?
Why not? There's nothing better.
No!
We're just getting started on this morning. Boy, I better be careful the way I phrase that, I suppose. Still to come as we go. Look who's coming up on this morning. Keyshawn Johnson will be here later in this hour. Dominique Foxworth, who I would not put it past him to have been a part of the negotiation in all of this. And don't miss Stephen A's reaction live with us as we continue Get Up this morning. What a day, and delighted that you're here with us. Also coming up, does Dak's deal mean that we cross the Cowboys off Russell Wilson's list? And how can the Seahawks write a letter to fans and not mention him? We're getting to that. And the owner of the Eagles makes it clear who he wants as his quarterback going forward. Is he making a huge mistake? We're getting up with you all morning on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up. Meanwhile on Planet Earth is sponsored by Whole Foods Market. And Dan Graziano, here's a home run that nearly left Planet Earth. That's 20-year-old Royals prospect Bobby Witt Jr. with a 484-foot home run.
Man.
Tell everyone why that makes you feel old.
Because I covered his dad when he was briefly with the Florida Marlins in 1995, and I was covering that team. Bobby Witt Sr. was a pretty good pitcher. He could not hit like his son can, that's for sure.
Spent 16 years in the majors, mostly with the Rangers, and now his son is hitting bombs. Coming up, have the Eagles found their man, or are they making the biggest mistake in the league? We'll answer that question next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and with the enormous news of the day, Dak Prescott now agreeing to a huge deal with the Dallas Cowboys. We look at the odds from Caesars by William Hill, and they are, the Cowboys, the odds-on favorites to win the NFC East. All the other teams are substantially behind them. In the case of Washington and Philadelphia, of course, there are question marks at quarterback. And we spent the opening part of the show today, guys, Orlovsky, David Pollack, Booger McFarland, talking about reasonable expectations on a quarterback now that he is getting paid this way. How about reasonable expectations for the team? Vegas says the Cowboys are a significant favorite to win the NFC East. Booger, do you agree?
No, Greeny, I don't. Just because I'm a firm believer, and it got validated last year in the Super Bowl. I still believe that when you have teams that are kind of comparable, I'm going to go with the team that has the better defense. And until the Cowboys and Dan Quinn can fix that defense, I just can't count on an offense that can go out and score 30, 40 points. Because when you go against a very good defense, especially one they have in Washington with that front four, and it really doesn't matter who they put at the quarterback position. They won the division with anybody at the position this past year because of how good that defense was. So I would not favor Dallas, Greeny.
Yeah, Washington did win the division this year, albeit at 7-9. Danny, who you got?
Yeah, I favor Dallas right now. Absolutely. I know who their quarterback is, and obviously their offense is going to be fireworks. Booger makes great points about the defense, but this offense should be really, really good. Now, this offense is going to have to play better than it did in those five starts with Dak Prescott last year, especially in the first half. They weren't very good, and that's why they had to make so many of those comebacks. But I think with, you know, a second year in the head coach Mike McCarthy system, Kellen Moore coming back, this is not a runaway. I don't favor Dallas by a ton. I got to figure out who Washington's quarterback is going to be, and there's still some big names out there. I'm also a believer in the Giants. This is not something where I'm pounding the table going, no-brainer, this is the Cowboys. But because they have Dak Prescott under contract, I'm going to lean the Cowboys, but with an asterisk. If the Washington football team gets a quarterback, or their Giants keep Leonard Williams, I like them as well.
David Pollack, Cowboys, yes or no? They're odds-on favorites in Vegas.
They're always odds-on favorites in Vegas. What does that have to do with anything? I mean, they do it every year. But I will say this. By the way, I'll say this, and I think it's important. You couldn't win with Dak Prescott on a rookie low-paid deal for an extended period of time. So
no doubt.
I don't expect Dallas now all of a sudden turning around and start destroying people. I do like what Dan said about the Giants. I loved what I saw from the Giants competitive-wise. I don't think their roster is where it needs to be, but I love that. And you can't deny what you're seeing with Washington's front four and front seven on defense, it's legit. So odds on favorite, huge, heavy favorite? No, but they're the Cowboys. They do that every single year.
Yeah, but people are inclined to bet on them, and so sometimes things move in that direction. And I will agree with the idea we have to wait and see who the quarterback of the Washington football team is going to be. In the meantime, I think we know who the quarterback of the Eagles is going to be as we stay in that division. Did you see the tweets yesterday from our Chris Mortensen? This is a fascinating situation. We're heading into next year, a ton of questions about whether Jalen Hurts is a long-term answer at quarterback. Well, Mort yesterday tweeted the following. I would not report the Eagles have internal unanimity on Hurts as QB1, but sources say the boss, Jeffrey Lurie, has instructed his group to prioritize making Hurts successful in 2021 as opposed to creating a true competition. Now, David Pollack, there would be two ways, I guess, they could create a true competition. One would be to bring in an established veteran quarterback. The other, they pick six in the draft this year. There'll be a highly touted quarterback sitting there. So do you agree? This is the owner, according to Chris Mortensen, telling his guys, we're sticking with Jalen Hurts. We're not drafting a quarterback at six. David Pollack, do you like that strategy?
Well, I think it's twofold. One, I don't think Jalen Hurts is their quarterback for the future. It's a franchise quarterback that you're going to stick with and say, I'm going to go win a Super Bowl. But why do you invest a second-round pick? You're already paying Carson Wentz a ton of money. You invested a second-round pick. You chose not to get better on the offense and defensive lines. So, yeah, you got to figure out what this guy is. Jalen Hurts came in last year, and he showed you what he's about. This kid's tough as nails. He can run the football. He can throw the football. You've seen him cover up some of the holes and deficiencies that Eagles have. Is he my guy? Am I riding with him? The only way to find out is if I give him reps. And I think Jalen Hurts needs to have those reps to prove if I chose him correctly with a second round pick. So I agree with the decision and what they're doing. I don't know if Jalen Hurts is a franchise quarterback though.
Danny, you're tight with a lot of the people there in Philly. What are you sort of reading the tea leaves and hearing?
Yeah, this isn't about a quarterback competition. This is about they believe that Jalen Hurts is their guy. I mean, they love Jalen Hurts. I mean, they love Jalen Hurts. They 100% believe that Jalen Hurts is their future. Guys, they ran the quarterback out of town that they paid a bunch of money to. Maybe he ran himself out, maybe Jalen Hurts, but whatever. They got rid of him because of Jalen Hurts being there. Okay, the owner and the general manager absolutely adore this kid's makeup. And this isn't about like bringing in a guy to compete against them. This is going, all right, he played four games, and the owner is coming out through sources and being like, let's go support this kid in four games. And so we got to remember as well, they smeared their face on week 17 national television to go get the sixth pick. They're not going to use it on a quarterback. I think it's smart. They're going to be a bad football team next year. And if Jalen Hurts can go play well with the chips stacked against him, I don't think that they're focused on this year. I think that the Eagles are going, we got a guy that we absolutely love. Let's build and make a run in 2022 and 2023.
Yeah, they are realistically, Booger, at the beginning of a rebuilding process, and every team winds up finding themselves there. So let's do a little looking into the future. Booger McFarland, the next time the Eagles are winning playoff games, the next time they're a really good team, whenever that is, and they're winning playoff games, do you believe Jalen Hurts will be their starting quarterback?
No, I don't, Greeny. And just because the owner comes out and says, let's not bring someone in to oppose him, who says the owner knows really what they're doing? We saw Daniel Snyder basically handpick Dwayne Haskins, and we saw how that turned out in Washington. So I would love for Jeffrey to say, okay, allow my football guys to determine whether or not he deserves the football job as far as being the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, Greeny, I don't care who you are and what profession or what business you're in. How many times after four chances of doing whatever, four chances of being a school teacher, four chances, 4 days of hosting a show, he played four games. Can we honestly say that he deserves to have the keys to this season and be the starting quarterback? I can't. He may be great. I'm not saying that he won't be. He may be absolutely outstanding, but he's played four games. Oh, by the way, they lost three of those games. So for this organization and for Jeffrey Lurie to come in and say, you know what? I don't want competition for this young man. I think he can be, we want him to be the guy. How do you know that after four games? That's the only thing that I say. He may be great, but no one, not even the Philadelphia Eagles know that yet.
Super quick, Dan.
Yeah, it's an arguing day for Booger. He was 1-3. He's a Hail Mary away from being 2-2 as well. But this is why, Book. That's why. Like, there's no point in bringing in competition. You're not going to know what that player is because the team's going to be so bad. Give Jalen Hurts the job this year, and if he plays well, you go, huh, he played well with a bad football team. Let's build around him. I think it's the smart decision.
Let me leave that there for the moment. It'll be interesting to see if one of the quarterbacks that we might not expect falls to six if the Eagles wind up changing their mind. Meanwhile, this is a big day for a lot of reasons. Adam Schefter, let's run the hurry up on franchise tag day. What's the deal with Allen Robinson?
Well, we're obviously waiting to see whether he gets the franchise tag. The expectation is that he will, Greeny, that he will be franchised in Chicago. They'll use him as a recruiting device to try to get a quarterback in there. I think he'd like to be able to test the free agent market, but the franchise tag is a weapon for the Bears, and I don't think they're just going to let Allen Robinson walk out the door today, which is why he's likely to get the franchise tag. A big decision in Green Bay. Do the Packers tag their running back, Aaron Jones, or do they let him get to the market? He can become a free agent when the new league year begins next week, 4 p.m. Eastern. Contract is up. Jamal Williams' contract is up. So some running back uncertainty in Green Bay, which is why a tag becomes possible for Aaron Jones if they want to secure one of their backs and prevent him from going to the market. And the Oakland Raiders have agreed to trade Trent Brown back to New England. A swap of picks. Trent Brown already has agreed to a reworked one-year deal worth up to $11 million. The Raiders didn't want to pay him what he was supposed to make this season. New England did, and it allows the Patriots some flexibility. Keep in mind, Joe Tooney, the Patriots offensive lineman franchised last year, looks like he's unlikely to be franchised this year. We'll see how that shakes out later today, Greeny.
What an extraordinarily busy day around the National Football League. Shefty, stay close. Coming up, the deal is done. But can the Cowboys now compete for a championship? We'll ask a former Cowboys star, Keyshawn Johnson, in my studio coming up in just a moment. And then here we go again. When is a letter to fans not just a letter to fans? When it doesn't mention Russell Wilson. Oh, what a morning. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
For the 36th year, Champ Week continues tonight with the Little Caesars Horizon League Championship Game, 7 Eastern. Then you got the West Coast Conference Championship Game at 9 Eastern. Big, good action. It's all on ESPN and the ESPN app, so you can watch from anywhere.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere.
We've been in the gym.
It's just in, Dak won, and he won huge. Keyshawn Johnson, the K in KJZ from ESPN Radio, makes his way across the hall. Great receiver, obviously, for the Cowboys back in the day. First reaction, you see this, Dak gets all his money. What was the first thought that went through your mind?
Yeah, it's about time. That's the first thing I say. What's about time? I always knew he was going to get his money. It just was when. Like yesterday, we heard from Dan Graziani that they could potentially be moving the franchise tag back just to because they didn't know where the money would be coming in. The deadline would be pushed back. So when they didn't do that, it's like, okay, he got his money. And he got every cent that he deserves, every penny.
So do the expectations on him change? He has always been the underdog. He has always been the guy who wasn't expected to be even a starter. He was drafted late. They weren't paying him. He was always sort of the little engine that could. Now he has arguably the best contract in the entire National Football League. Do the expectations change?
Absolutely. Greeny, you know how it goes. You are now the guy, you know, and people are looking for you to deliver that championship. You got 4 years to do it. It's like anything. If one of us all of a sudden get a new contract, they expect for us at ESPN to come with it. Ratings, go. Let's go. Dak Prescott, let's go. You're the underdog for 4 years. Now you got what you seek to get, which was big money. We haven't had a championship, a Super Bowl, since Troy Aikman was a quarterback. We missed out for a long period of time. Think about the quarterbacks they had in between Troy Aikman and Tony Romo. Mm-hmm. That list of whatever that was. And then Tony Romo. And then in between Tony in and out of the lineup being hurt before they land Dak Prescott. So now it's all on Dak's shoulder. $75 million due in the first year. $66 million signing bonus and $126 million guaranteed over 4 years. We all know what that means. That means expectations.
Can he do it? In the next 4 years, can he lead this Cowboys team to a Super Bowl?
I believe so. And here's why. I think they retool the defense. I think they use the 10th pick to get a cornerback, whether it's Patrick Surtain Jr. or somebody else, or they get another corner later on in the rounds, so they shore up the secondary. They'll be young, they'll grow. The defense, bring in Dan Quinn, who was great at calling defenses at once upon a time. I think he can retool that. Mike Nolan, if you think about it, was out of football for, I believe, 12 years before he started calling defenses again. So this is a totally different situation than it was a year ago.
Dan Quinn, the new defensive coordinator in Dallas, had been the head coach, of course, in Atlanta for the last few years. Keyshawn Johnson, I have to let you go back over there. They're yelling at me again. KJZ every morning, coast to coast.
When are you picking up your cleaners?
Radio. Say it again.
When do you pick up your cleaners? Because Zubin had told me to ask you because he wanted to pick up your cleaners.
Pick up my dry cleaner for me?
Yes.
Candidly, anytime he wants. Thursday, it'll be ready Thursday morning.
Okay, I'll let him know.
Very good, Keyshawn. Thank you very much. There's some inside joke here I'm missing, but I like it. Okay, as we continue, another lingering quarterback story, the future of Russell Wilson in Seattle. Yesterday, after the Dak news broke, Shefty reminded everyone on Twitter that Dak signing means one of Russell Wilson's preferred trade destinations had been eliminated. Remember, he gave four teams. His agent on the record gave four teams he'd be willing to be traded to. The Cowboys were one. We also learned this week that Wilson, who was an MVP candidate this season, was not mentioned in a letter that you see there that was sent out to Seahawks season ticket holders. The letter in question does single out a number of his teammates, including DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Jamal Adams, and Jordan Brooks. So no mention of Russell Wilson, the biggest star on the team by far. This obviously is reminiscent of that hype video, the much-discussed hype video the Cowboys had recently that didn't include Dak. So, Dan Graziano, we just sort of set that as the baseline beginning of the conversation. What is the latest as far as Russell Wilson in Seattle?
Yeah, checking in with as recently as yesterday with people in Seattle, nothing's changed on their end. They're still proceeding as if he's going to be their quarterback. They're not interested in trading him, and they don't necessarily think it has or will reach a point where he will force their hand. This is not a Deshaun Watson, Houston Texans situation at this point. So it seems like much ado about nothing, all letters notwithstanding. I can't say that everything is perfect or that there's no chance anything will happen this offseason, but I think the strong likelihood is that Russell Wilson is the Seahawks quarterback in 2021.
The three remaining teams, for what it's worth, from the list that the agent gave to Shefty that he'd be willing to be traded to are the Bears, the Raiders, and the Saints. David Pollack, you're watching all this go on. What is your take on the Seahawks right now and Russell Wilson?
It feels really petty, doesn't it? Like, it's interesting. It's very soft right now. Like, it's, hey, my offensive line isn't that good. I want to open it up. And then, you know, we're not going to talk about you in this video. It just feels like it's going to end poorly. You know, we've seen Russell Wilson be the consummate Seahawk and, you know, be the guy that stands in front of everybody, be a great leader, make play after play after play. And now it seems like it's little shots back and forth between them and ownership. And it appears like he's not happy. You know, he's got a fiance, but he's looking at other girls really, really intently. And I think that now it's something's going to happen. I know that the money right now probably won't work for it to happen this year, but it doesn't feel like it did before all this started, where I knew Russell Wilson, like, this dude's a Seahawk and he's all in and he's won a Super Bowl and he loves the Seahawks. Go Hawks every interview. Now it feels like, man, I don't really care for them anymore. And the love's kind of gone.
Yeah, I agree with that. And so, Berger, let me come to you. You send out a letter to your season ticket holders. It mentions all these other players. It doesn't mention Russell Wilson. We don't know what the intent of that is, but it certainly under these circumstances feels worthy at least of mentioning in the discussion. How big a deal do you make of that?
Green, I don't make a huge deal of it. I think that there's definitely some disingenuous feelings between both sides. I think Russell has let those be known. I think Pete Carroll and his side have got to figure out how much they want Russell being involved going forward. And to me, this is an easy man. Also, Green, I'm old enough to remember when I was on this show and there was a Cowboy hype video that didn't have Dak in it, and we all made a huge deal out of it. And here we are, $160 million later. Everything is kumbaya. So let's not blow this out of proportion. It was a single letter. Everyone in the Great Northwest knows that Russell Wilson is the face of the franchise. So I wouldn't put too much stock in the letter. Now, if they make a hype video, stop the presses. But the letter, I wouldn't go that far.
Let me give you a different way of looking at this thing here. And Dominique brought this up yesterday, I think, and it was an interesting one, David Pollack, that maybe on some level, Russell Wilson feels as though he was skipped. Like, we went from the Brady, Peyton Manning era, and we went right to the Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson era. And Russell Wilson is saying, wait a minute, I was supposed to be the face of the league and the best player in the sport, and because of the team I play on and because of the style of offense that our team believes in, I'm not capable of being that guy when I should be that guy. It's an interesting way of looking at it, and it's not an unreasonable way to feel if you're a guy like Russell Wilson. David Pollack, what do you think?
No, I don't disagree with that at all. And I think the team you play for, more importantly, like, listen, how do we get to this point in Russell Wilson's career and we haven't had the debate of whether he's an MVP? He plays for the Seahawks. Right? I mean, that's been part of it. He's not in a wide open offense. Last year, you saw it a little bit, and then it kind of got a little bit tough, and they said, no, we don't trust you. We're going to bring it back in. So I think that, you know, Russell Wilson should feel that way. But I tell you what, if you watch Russell Wilson for a whole game and you watch what he can do, there's very few people on the planet that can do it. So if he went somewhere else and they opened it up, you know good and well he'd have a ton of success. So I get where Neek's coming from with that, and I get it because West Coast with the Seahawks and the offense that he's been in. I mean, I think you kind of feel bad for him. The dude should have won an MVP at this point in his career.
Yeah, and I will just say this, Booger. I mean, just to push back on you, I only have a second here. But on that Indianapolis Colts team you won a Super Bowl with, they would under no circumstances have sent a letter to their season ticket holders that didn't mention Peyton Manning, right? There are no circumstances in which that would happen, right?
Yeah, Greeny, I think you make a good point there, but that's also yonder years ago. Like, this is a new age now. They're trying to promote so many other players. I'm not going to make that big of a deal out of the whole letter. By the way, I mean, Russell Wilson in Seattle may have a new contract coming up pretty soon, the way Dak and the Cowboys did. Who knows?
We'll see. I'm going to make a big deal of it because nothing else. I understand having that ego. All right, as we continue, the deal is done. Dak and Dallas, the QB cashes in. We'll explain exactly what it means for the team and the league as we get up with you on ESPN.